Lord Jesus, you invite us to come to you, to seek you out, all who are weary and heavy laden, so that you can give us rest for our souls. And Lord, we thank you that as we come before you in the quietness and the stillness, as we pour out our hearts before you, Lord, that you know us. You have searched us and you know us. You know when we rise and when we sit. You know our thoughts from afar. Before we even speak a word on our tongue, you know it completely, Lord. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning not to tell you anything that you don't know, but, Lord, just to be able to let go of all those things into your forgiveness, into your grace, and so that we can have that peace of heart, that peace of mind, to be able to be at rest in your presence. And so, Lord Jesus, as we come to this time of studying your word today, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would begin to speak to us, even now. Lord, as we have been quietening our hearts, Lord, we are able to hear that still small voice speaking to us that just says, be still and know that I am God. Give ear to my word and take heed of my word so that it will bring life to your whole being. Lord, I just thank you for the way that you do speak to us as we just quiet in our hearts. And so, Lord, today, just lead us and guide us into your word. And may this time be a very rich time as we seek you and find you, as we seek you with all our heart. We know, Lord, that you've promised that you will be found by us. So, Lord, help us to find you today in this word that you have provided for us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're continuing our study today in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following. And this morning, I thought it would be fitting for the message today to start with a very familiar image. I don't know if you, how many of you remember years and years ago that movie that came out, The Wizard of Oz. It was one of the very first color movies. Didn't you know that? It was one of the very first color movies. Started out in black and white, but then when they got to Oz, the color just was there. And so this morning, I want to make reference to this because you'll catch where I'm going with this in just a moment. But this scene that you see here of Dorothy and the Tin Woodsman was a very, very touching scene. The Tin Woodsman in L. Frank Baum's children's classic, The Wizard of Oz, makes a very, very astute observation as he tells his story of how he found himself rusted and motionless on the side of the yellow brick road. This is what Baum writes about the Tin Woodsman. He says, I thought I had beaten the wicked witch. Then, and I worked harder than ever. But I little knew how cruel my enemy could be. She thought of a new way to kill my love for the beautiful Munchkin maiden and made my axe slip again so that it cut right through my body, splitting it into two halves. And once more, the tinner came to my help and made me a body of tin, fastening my tin arms and legs and head to it by means of joints, so that I could move around as well as ever. But alas, now I had no heart, so that I could move around, so that I lost all my love for the Munchkin girl and did not care whether I married her or not. My body shone so brightly in the sun that I felt very proud of it, and it did not matter now if my axe slipped, for it could cut me. It could not cut me. There was only one danger, that my joints would rust. But I kept an oil can in the cottage and took care to oil myself whenever I needed it. However, there came a day when I forgot to do this, and being caught in a rainstorm, before I thought of the danger, my joints had rusted, and I was left standing in the woods until you came to help me. It was a terrible thing to undergo during that year I stood here. I had time to think that the greatest loss I had known was the loss of my heart. While I was in love, I was the happiest man on earth, but no one can love who has not a heart. And so I am resolved to ask Oz to give me one. If he does, I will go back to the Munchkin Maiden and marry her. Both Dorothy and the Scarecrow had been greatly interested in the story of the Tin Woodman, and now they knew why he was so anxious to get a new heart. All the same, the Scarecrow said, I shall ask for a brain instead of a heart, for a fool would not know what to do with a heart if he had one. I shall take the heart, returned the Tin Woodman, for brains do not make one happy, and happiness is the best thing in the world. Interesting. Interesting. The lessons that we can learn from the Tin Woodsman. The lesson that we learn from the Tin Woodsman is that our heart is the wellspring of life and happiness. It needs to be protected from the warfare of the evil one. Now, it's interesting what you can learn from children's books or a movie, huh? But, you know, the writer of Proverbs has penned these words of encouragement for his son. He says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The wellspring of life. Guard your heart. You know, to guard our hearts, we need to put on the next piece of armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. You know, Jesus warned his disciples in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, that they might have life and have it to the full. You know, the Apostle Paul took these words to heart and taught others to do so as well by warning those who follow Jesus Christ to be alert. And the Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. He says this, be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering that you are enduring. You know, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the best way to guard our hearts is to put on our main piece of defensive armor. He says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. In the series of messages that we're working our way through right now, Standing Strong, we're looking at the armor of God that Paul talked about in this passage. The armor that Paul is describing here is modeled after the armor that was worn by a soldier that was guarding him every day. So every day he'd see this soldier and he'd go, wow, look at this, look at the armor that these guys are wearing. Wow, how it relates so much to the armor of God, that armor that God has given to us. So the next piece of armor, you know, last week we talked about the belt. That was the very first thing that they would put on in the morning. After, you know, when they wake up, they, you know, shake off their tunic, put their belt on, and then everything else would hang off of that or rest on that belt. Well, the next piece of armor that would be put on would be the breastplate. And this breastplate, this Roman breastplate, was made from strips of iron that were laid in an overlapping fashion in a horizontal manner. You can see that in the picture right next to the description here. But these strips were designed to be form-fitting, made for an extremely strong and flexible upper body defense against enemy swords and stabbing weapons. With this flexibility, the soldiers could move freely and use his shield and his sword without bumping into any awkward pieces of armor that were on his chest. So it was a piece of armor that they put on over their head, came down, and then they snugged it all up so that it was, you know, part of their body. It would just move with their body. The breastplate was also an essential piece of armor for the protection of vital organs, especially the heart and the lungs. Without the breastplate, the heart was exposed and the torso was vulnerable to blows from the enemy. And so every soldier valued the protection that was afforded by their breastplate. And so the Apostle Paul, as he's looking at the soldier that's beside him, he encourages us to take up this, or to put on this piece of armor every day. And the word that he used there is endusomenoi, which is the sense of sinking into this garment, allowing when you put the breastplate over your shoulders, let it sink into your body, and take it on as if you're sinking into a suit of clothing. And you know, he's saying here that the breastplate of righteousness is like the soldier, it's to protect our hearts, it's to deflect the blows of the evil one, it's to enable us to engage in the battle with confidence and freedom in Christ. That's why he makes this a point to say, put this armor on daily. Put it on. You know, throughout his many letters, Paul, just not only here in Ephesians chapter 6, but throughout his many letters, he emphasizes the importance of putting on or clothing ourselves with the garments of righteousness. And we can see in just a few examples here of what he says about this. He says, put on the armor of light, the light of God. Put it on in Romans chapter 13, verse 12. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, he says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, all of these things are, you know, likened to the breastplate of righteousness, right? These are the things we're to put on. And then not only in Galatians chapter 3:27, but then he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and Colossians 3:10, he says, put on the new self. The new self. You know, we've talked a lot about that in the past in our series in the Gospel of John, when we talked about, you know, our false self and our true self. You know, our false self is all those things that make up that world of already, always, that default way of living that we live in, that's been passed on to us from our foremothers and forefathers, and you know, Adam and Eve, right back to Adam and Eve, that false nature, that sin nature that's been part of us so much. He says, take off the old self and put on the new self that is being made in the image of Jesus, the new self. And then he says in Colossians chapter 3:12, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. These are the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, the qualities of Christ Jesus himself. He says, clothe yourselves with these things. These are all references that tie into what Paul is saying here. As he's looking at the soldier, he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? Clothe yourself with all of the fruit of the Spirit of God that you see in Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, he says, put on faith and love as a breastplate. All of these things that Paul's talked about throughout his letters all refer back to, you know, can be correlated back to this, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. All of these different things tie into it. Faith and love are all part of this. So are you getting the picture? You getting the picture? For Paul, the breastplate of righteousness was not just an important piece of armor. It was an essential piece of armor. It was the essential piece of armor that protects our hearts, that the writer of Hebrews calls the wellspring of life. You know, our heart, that place where, you know, for us, you know, in the Western world, we see the heart as the place where God dwells within us. In the Eastern world, it's the kidneys, you know. But you know, we'll stick with heart because that's what we're trained for, right? But, you know, we got to protect our heart. It's the wellspring of life. And so the Apostle Peter, once again, he highlights the importance of this piece of armor when he makes the declaration in 1 Peter 3:10-22, he says this, whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clean conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. You know, the Apostle Peter is talking here about the righteousness that comes as we put our faith and our hope and our trust and our confidence in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, washing away our sins. And you know, the waters of baptism symbolize that washing away of the sin that so once held its sway over us. And now we have been passed from death unto life, from sin unto the righteousness that comes from knowing Christ Jesus our Lord and putting our faith and our confidence in him. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about the breastplate of righteousness, being clothed in the righteousness of Christ that enables us to engage in the battle that we are in this world with confidence and freedom in Christ, because we aren't standing in our own righteousness. We're standing with the righteousness of Christ surrounding us, guarding our hearts. So here's the challenge for us. Just as we're in the habit of putting on a new outfit of clothing each day, I think this morning when you got up, just like I got up, you know, the first thing we do in the morning after we getting a shower or getting, you know, cleaned up is to go and slip into our clothes, right? Slip into those clothes, those garments that we have each day. Well, Paul encourages us to settle into or to be clothed with the garments of righteousness every day. So what does that mean? You know, as Paul was looking at this soldier friend, he recognized two things about the armor. One was, I'm sure he maybe asked his soldier buddy, he said, you know, hey, listen, you know, when you put that armor on, what's it like every day for you? What's the process? I know you every day you guys come ready to guard me and you're all decked out in your armor, but what is the process? What do you have to go through to put that armor on? And so, you know, the soldier may have said to Paul, you know, here, it's a two-step process. First of all, the soldier would pick up the breastplate and he would put it over his head and slide it down his body, slipping it into place. And once it was in place, resting on the belt, he would then do the second step of tightening the straps that were on the side of the armor, or that were the buckles that were at the front of the armor, and tying each one tight so that it would become more form-fitting and it wasn't too loose. Now, Paul likens this putting on of the breastplate of righteousness to, first of all, the daily affirmation of the impact of the righteousness of Christ in our lives. You know, the daily affirming the righteousness of Christ over our life. How often do we do that? Do we do that daily? Do we take, you know, recognize Christ, Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for your righteousness. I thank you for the fact that you are holy. I thank you for the fact that you've called me to be holy as you are holy. And so, Lord, just as I wake up today, I take your holiness, your righteousness, and I put it on to me today. I slip it on. You know, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, he says this. He says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You know, what is our daily practice? Is our daily practice the practice of, "Oh, Lord"? You know, actually, Carolyn and I were listening to this yesterday on our way to a family gathering. We listened to, when is the best time to take a shower? When is the best time to take a shower? Is it in the morning when you get up, or in the evening before you go to bed? Well, you can take two, but then it's a lot of water, you know, but a lot of hot water. But, you know, they said, you know, that microbiologists have said that it's the best time is in the morning. Because when you get up in the morning, after you've been in bed, you know, like when you sleep in bed, you shed skin cells and all kinds of other stuff, and those microorganisms are all in the bed, you know. But I'm not trying to gross you out or anything here, but but those microorganisms that we can't see are there, and we're rolling around in them, and so when we take off our pajamas in the morning, we let that all that stuff go, we get in the shower, we wash it all off, and then we put on a new set of clothing that really just helps us to feel good about starting the day. And so, you know, rather than going and taking a shower at night and then going and rolling around in all those microorganisms, you know, it's better to have a shower in the morning. But so, you know, but the point of the matter is, I'm saying here, is that we've been taught, Paul says, regarding our former way of life, that we're to put off the old self, we're to take off the old garments of sinfulness, and we're to allow the righteousness of Christ in the morning to just wash over us, wash all of that stuff off for the day, and then put on those new garments. Those new garments, the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. What a way to start the day, eh? What a way to start the day. And then in Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 11, he says, "If you have been united with Christ like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." You know what? Our old self, our old clothes have been dealt with forever by the blood of Christ, washing us, freeing us. And now we take on this new set of righteousness, this new clothing of righteousness. And so we can count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, so when Paul says to put on or to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, he's calling us to affirm the position that we now have before God as we stand in Christ Jesus every day. We are now dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. What a way to get up every morning and just say, thank God that I am now dead to sin and alive to you, God. This is a brand new day. Help me to walk in righteousness. Help me to put on your righteousness today. This is the first step. This is the first step. You know, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You know, that's the affirmation we should say every day. You know, it's the affirmation we should be saying every day as we get up. And maybe you could just say it along with me, guys. Maybe you could say it along with me too. Okay, let's say this together. Okay, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Okay, that's a beautiful affirmation of the righteousness that we're to put on each day in Christ. And that's the first step. The second step is this. You know, once I put the armor on, Paul, I now have to snug it in tightly. Snug it up tightly. The second step of putting on the breastplate of righteousness is to daily reaffirm our commitment to walking the path of righteousness. In other words, offer ourselves to God afresh. In Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14, the apostle says this, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your bodies to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. You know, putting on the righteousness of Christ, offering ourselves to God, is to be a daily expression of our commitment to walk the path of righteousness that Christ himself has set out for us. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. He says, let us throw off everything. This might be a little familiar because I encourage you to do this each week. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, the challenge before us each day is that we have a relentless enemy. A relentless enemy who will stop at nothing to wear us down so that we will lose heart, that will bring our faith and our commitment to Jesus Christ to the point of disillusionment and resignation, so that we will drop our guard, so that we'll drop our guard and become vulnerable to his attacks. You know, and it usually happens when we're really tired. Anybody can relate to that? When we get tired, and we get grumpy, and we get a little testy with other people who are closest to us. You know, that's usually when the enemy really just, I see that your breastplate of righteousness is a little loose today. It's not snugged up real tight, and so I can jab you and get you. And it's really important for us to persevere and to stand strong in the battle. We need to keep the breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, tightly fitted into place so that we can walk freely and confidently in the righteousness that is now ours in Christ. You know, coming back to the Wizard of Oz, coming back to Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion, you know, they were on a quest to get to the beautiful city of Oz. And to get there, they had to travel through some dangerous territory. And they needed to be on guard and to keep on the right path. So do you remember what the Munchkins said to Dorothy when she started on this journey? Do you remember?
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. You know, I'm sure we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. You know, yeah. If you know the movie, you know that's you know. So whenever they kind of got off track a little bit, they always used to say, "Follow the yellow brick road." Oh yeah, we got to get back onto that path. That path. You know, the writer of Proverbs that we started reading a little bit of last time in earlier on in chapter 4, he says this, before he gives his advice to his son, he says this, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun." Sounds like the yellow brick road, right? The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep your talk, your corrupt talk, far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight forward. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. You know, as I reflect now, we reflect on Proverbs chapter 4 and these words of wisdom to his son, there are three action steps that I noticed in these words of instruction that I'm going to share with you right now there. And they are the buckles. You know, if we're the analogy of the breastplate of righteousness, you know, the buckles that we have to cinch up each day. These are three of the buckles. Okay? These are three of the buckles that we are to pull tight and as we fasten this breastplate of righteousness to our body. The first one is this. Be attentive to God's word. Be attentive each day to God's word. The writer of Proverbs says this. He says, "My son, pay attention to what I say." God says, "Pay attention to what I say in my word. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." Be attentive to God's word each day. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against you." That I might choose to put off sin, put off the old nature and put on the new nature, put on the new garment of righteousness. And not only that, but Psalm 119, verse 101, 105 says, your word, Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. How can we keep on that yellow brick road, that path of righteousness? Well, it's by allowing God's word to be our lamp that keeps us focused on the road that's ahead. For God has shown us his way to walk in his righteousness, in his word. So let us be attentive. Secondly, he says, be attentive to the passions of your heart. Be attentive to the passions of your heart. Above all else, he says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What is the passion of your heart today when you get up? Well, Lord, what is my passion today, Lord, as I get up? What's got first place in my heart today? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Is that your passion today as you get up? Start the day. Lord, keep my passions right where they need to be, focused in you. May my love for you flow with trust in you, Lord. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your pathway straight. How do we keep on that pathway of right path of righteousness? Cinch it up, that trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Keep our passions focused on the Lord. Because as Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So know, understand, and be attentive to the passions of your heart. And finally, the writer of Proverbs says this. He says, be attentive to the way that you're walking. Be attentive to the way that you're walking. You want to stay on the path of righteousness. You want to grow in the strength of Christ's righteousness in you. You want to cinch up that breastplate of righteousness today. Be attentive to the way that you are walking. He says, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes looking straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. It's so important that we keep our focus on how am I walking today with you, Lord? Guide my steps. Guide my heart. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 and verses 8 to 10 says this. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Is that the desire of our heart today as we get up and as we seek to walk? Lord, I want to find out today what pleases you. What pleases you? I want my life to please you today, Lord, so that I can live as an expression of your righteousness in working in, around, and through me. You know, a number of years ago, I mentioned this in one of the first messages, but you know, I found a top 10 list of the things, of the nature of the battle. I found another top 10 list. Okay, another one. And this one is with regard to what are the top 10 things that please God? You know, as we seek to live in the righteousness of Christ and live out of the righteousness of Christ, you know, that breastplate of righteousness snugged in around us, what is it that pleases the Lord? And this top 10 list is actually found, I'll give you a secret, in 1 Peter, write it down, 1 Peter 1, 13 to chapter 2, verse 3. Here's the top 10 list of the things that please God. First of all, your mind prepared for action. Your mind prepared for action. Oh, that pleases God when you get up in the morning and your mind is focused on Him and in His righteousness today. Secondly, being self-controlled. Being self-controlled. That's a fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Allowing the Spirit of God to control the way in which you order your life, the way in which you are speaking, acting, living, being in all things. That pleases God. Number 8, your hope set on God's grace. Oh God, may your grace abound today in me and through me to others. Number 7, being an obedient child. Not living the way you used to in ignorance of the truth. Again, it's being attentive to God's word, like I just said a few moments ago. Number 6, pursuing holiness as a lifestyle. Lord, that your righteousness, may it become my righteousness today. May you help me to be holy just as you are holy. Number 5, living as a stranger here, holding on to things lightly. You know, as we change, our whole perspective on life changes as we begin to grow in His grace, as we begin to, His righteousness becomes our righteousness, as we live out of that relationship with God, we begin to realize, you know what, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So we hold on to things lightly. Number 4, allowing the truth to purify and transform you. Oh God, search me and know me. Know my anxious thoughts. If there's any anxious way in me, and lead me in the path of righteousness, your path everlasting. Transform me, change me. Be attentive to the way in which we're walking today. And number 3, loving one another deeply from the heart. You know, as the Tin Woodsman came to understand, he could not love if he did not have a heart. And if the enemy has so hardened your heart, if the enemy has so wounded your heart, if the enemy has actually snatched your heart from you, how in the world can you love one another? And so with the righteousness of Christ as our breastplate, our heart is guarded, our heart is protected. And not only that, but the love of Christ flows into us, and our heart, like the Grinch's when his heart began to grow and it became so big, you know, that his whole life was transformed, and he began to love those little people in Whoville. Right? That's what it's like. Love one another deeply from the heart. It's because our heart is guarded by the righteousness of Christ. And number 2, getting rid of our sinful practices. Letting go of all those things that hinder and the sin that so easily entangles us, so that we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What is that? The path of righteousness. And then finally, growing up in our salvation. These are the things that please God. When we grow up into maturity in Christ and in His righteousness, then our whole life is transformed. And the lives of others are touched, moved, and inspired by the work that God is doing, not only in you, but also in this church. What a beautiful lesson for us today about the breastplate of righteousness. So therefore, as we clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Christ, with our breastplate firmly fitted in place, we will be able to confidently stand our ground and live as children of light, experiencing the fruit of God's goodness, righteousness, and truth in abundance. So therefore, put on, as Paul says, the full armor of God. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Let's pray. Amen. Amen, Shirley? Yeah, I saw that. Fist pump from Shirley today. Yes! Yes! We can stand because we in the righteousness of Christ, and our hearts are fully protected. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to know you and to know your grace and your peace, to know your love that has been poured out to us on Calvary. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that it's that we can trust you and know that you are God and that we are protected as we put on this armor, as we put on the breastplate of righteousness each day, Lord. We stand in your righteousness, not a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but a righteousness that is by faith. And Lord, we just ask that you would just pour into us your holiness so that our lives can be transformed and that we can live out this life that you've called us to as your people. Oh Lord, help us to take each of these steps. The first one is to put on your righteousness each day like a clothing, and then to tighten it up, to cinch it up, so, Lord, so that it just is so form-fitting that your righteousness has become our righteousness and that our life shines like that city on a hill that you've said cannot be quenched. Oh, Lord, just pour out your love into our lives today and help us. Help us to walk worthy of you. We love you, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor now. In Jesus' name, amen.